In this episode of the Awaken podcast, I'm so excited for us to share with you how you can unlock your intuition. We're going to be sharing tools to access deeper and clearer inner guidance so that you can create more success in your life. And when we say success, I mean success in any area, whether that's your personal relationships, your career, your health, or somewhere else. Success is whatever you make it, and your intuition is here to support you in the process. So let's dive in and help you unlock your inner guidance. Welcome to the Awaken podcast,
where we share practical spirituality for modern living.
Join us as we dive deep into conversations about healing and transformation.
Let's go. And here we are.
We're back.
Cheers.
Cheers. We have cacao here today.
What's your intention?
Seems to have become a theme.
Yeah. It's how we roll. Cacao every day.
Every day. What is my intention? My intention is to inspire people to trust in the power of intuition enough to flex that skill even a little bit more in their lives so that they can reap the rewards.
That's awesome. Is to inspire and motivate people to start to access their intuition on a daily basis and see how it can work for them to create so much magic and joy and creativity and all the good things into their life, because it's a superpower. So I hope today that really, you know, people walk away with a greater understanding of how they can use their intuition to help them create success.
Yeah. Cheers to that.
Cheers.
Okay, where shall we
begin? Let's define intuition. What's your perspective?
From my perspective, intuition is an additional sense that we have, but it goes beyond, let's say we've got, you know, our five senses. We have our sight, we've got our smell, and so on. To me, our intuition is an additional sense, yet it works on a subtle level. Mm-hmm. So another way that I describe intuition is our subtle sense, which we could also call our subtle senses. Mm-hmm. And that leads into the correlations between our physical senses, such as our sense of sight is correlating with a subtle sense of sight. A lot of people perceive their intuition through their mind's eye or through visioning. And then you've got the sense of hearing. The subtle sense of hearing would be the ability to perceive messages, we could say auditorily, where there might be a stream of consciousness that comes through thought. There is the sense of touch, right? And then correlating with that would be the subtle sense of feeling. And often people will say, I just feel like something's off, or this feels really right. So I see that again as another form of intuition. And then what have we got? So I've said about your sight, your hearing, your knowing. I mean, that's not one of the five senses, but again, if we go up to the power of the mind and we could have knowledge, there is a somatic experience that comes with that, which I would say is the more subtle form of gnosis, of knowing that you know something. And it's just an undeniable fact at that point. You're like, I don't know why, but I know my whole system is telling me this is the truth.
And a lot of people, that could be like a gut instinct, you know?
Right. And that could be blurry for some people listening, right? Between more of a clear sentient, subtle sense of feeling versus a gut knowing. So how would you describe the difference there? Or what do you experience, a gut knowing versus a feeling?
Well, for me, the feeling is based on, it's just an intuitive feeling that I have in my body. It's not necessarily in one specific area of my body. It's just this feeling that I have where I intuitively know that something's a yes for me, or something's a no, or I should, you know, just be on this path and move in a certain direction. And then the knowing just comes through as a deep level of knowing. And I don't know how I know what I know, but I just know that I know.
I know that I know. I feel like it's a blurring in a way, isn't it? It's like, as we're talking through this, I'm kind of discovering too, there's always more to discover when it comes to intuition. And it's like a feeling of rightness or maybe a feeling of wrongness. And it doesn't necessarily come as a sensation, but it's like it drops in. I find human design as well really interesting with the concept of authorities in human design and how every one of us has our own authority. And like for you, I noticed that you will have more knowings about things and it will land very quickly for you because that's a part of your authority. And for anyone that's curious about this, you can go and look into your own human design with your birth details, but not everyone has that, so at least not with ease.
Yeah, well,
it's not their default.
What I want to say is it's really important for listeners to know that each and every single one of you is intuitive.
Yes.
And your intuition speaks to you in a specific way. And we'll start to break down the language of your intuition soon so you can start to identify how your intuition has been speaking to you. And once you have that awareness and that understanding, then you'll start to see it in your life and you can strengthen your connection to your intuition. We like to say that our higher selves speak through the voice of our intuition. You could say that the universe or God or the creator,
all of the above,
yeah, speaks through, you know, our intuition. So the language of your intuition is important to understand, and knowing that you are in a direct relationship with a higher power and that this higher power is leading you, constantly supporting you on your path, and your intuition is a big part of that. Yeah. So let's break down maybe the four clairs for people to understand, because I think that's a really simple way that people can kind of really understand what you've been talking about with these subtle senses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I kind of already touched on the first few, right? We've got your clairsentience, which is the feeling that is, maybe it's tingles, you get goosebumps, maybe it is like a pit in your stomach where you just know that there's something off about a certain situation.
So clairsentience, the ability to intuitively feel.
Yeah. And then the next one that you touched on as well was claircognizance, which is that knowing, the subtle sense of knowing where, we've covered it, you know that you know. The next one after that is clairaudience, the ability to hear, as we also touched on.
And you might hear messages in music. You might hear messages in a conversation that you're not actually in. Someone's walking by you and they might be on a phone call, but within that you hear a message that's relevant to you and your life. So, or that could be hearing a message from a guide or a loved one that's passed over, or just hearing through being in a space of silence and or reflection or out in nature. You just intuitively hear these messages.
Yeah, I love playing with clairaudience and how it can show up in song lyrics, or I might be in an Uber and something comes up on the radio. And you can do this with any of your clairs or subtle senses. It start to also expand beyond the vehicle of your own body and your own internal sensory perception and start to go out into the environment and recognize that you are also in conversation. So signs can appear that you may hear and register with a greater depth or significance, where it's like, okay, I hear you, I see you, I get what you're trying to tell me, and that can guide you forward.
Yeah.
So then going on to clairvoyance.
Well, that's the one that most people will understand and be familiar with. But so many people say, I'm not clairvoyant, I can't see, and therefore I don't have these intuitive abilities. And
people will say, I'm not visual.
Yeah.
As well. And it's maybe that it's not your dominant subtle sense, but I believe all of us have it. And an example of that I will often share with people is, if you were to recall what your house looks like, or an area of your bedroom, or what your family member's face looks like, these images tend to come into your awareness. And so whether you think you're visual or not, somehow you could relay at least a few key details and be aware of it and connected to it in a visual way. And it's about getting curious as to how that's actually happening. Because I think sometimes where we get confused or we dismiss our own intuitive abilities is we think it's meant to show up in a type of way, mm-hmm. and it's not, but it doesn't mean it's not happening at all.
Or when it shows up, we don't trust it. We haven't done the work to be able to strengthen that connection to our intuition. Once you understand the language of your intuition, then you can work towards strengthening it. And it does take practice. It's like a muscle, right? If you're working it in the gym, it's going to get stronger. It's going to get more developed. And your intuition is also like that, you know? Mm-hmm. The more you practice and work with it, the stronger it gets.
Yeah, exactly. And it's really about building neural pathways. So if you've been working your brain in a particular type of way your entire life, it's natural that certain ways of functioning or processing information are going to feel unnatural for you. But it doesn't mean that you can't change that in the same way, like you described, that you can build strength in certain muscles, and you can also gain interoception, you can gain awareness of your body and how you're moving in space and how that feels. You can also do that with your subtle senses.
Yeah. So for everyone tuning into this conversation, how does your intuition show up for you? Just take a moment to feel into that.
Yeah. And maybe it's that you reflect on a time where you know that you were guided, know that there was something beyond logic that was informing your choices. And I do also want to touch on two of the other subtle senses that aren't spoken about as often. I mean, even we don't speak about them as often because they tend to be a bit less common, but nonetheless, they show up all the time for all of us in some degree or another. And that is your subtle sense of smell.
Yeah.
And also your subtle sense of taste.
That comes up for a lot with people with childhood memories. There'll be a certain smell that reminds them of a childhood experience or memory that they went through.
Right. And we know that smell can so quickly invoke certain feelings. For example, if I smell a food that I used to eat when I was a kid, that brings on a full body experience for me. And there's been certain moments where I've smelled, let's say, someone's perfume, and they're not around me, but I get a whiff of that very distinct scent. And there that person is in my mind's eye immediately, and it creates a very visceral response. So I think that's important for people to know about and to stay open and curious about. Because let's say if you're doing a breathwork session or you're meditating and you get a certain smell, that might be information that could really help you to piece together a message that's wanting to come through.
Yeah, often intuition will come through like little pieces of a puzzle that you have to put together to see a larger picture. Mm-hmm. Or it might come through in packages. And we can talk about the packages. But as we're going through this conversation, speaking about the language of our intuition, how can people start to strengthen their connection to it and learn to trust it and work with it?
One of my favorite practices, which is primarily for simple, like yes, no decisions, is to tune into what your yes is and what your no is. So we could actually do it right now. Just take a moment. We don't have to close our eyes or anything. We can just get curious. Let's say imaginary situation that, think of a person that you know and you are fond of them and you're excited about hanging out with them, and any chance that you get to be around them, you're like, yeah, well, what a yes. So just imagine that they are going to call you. And they've got a really exciting opportunity coming up. Like, you've won this. You want to go on this trip. It's all expenses paid. It's going to be a vibe. You want to be there. And when you get that invitation, just taking a moment to imagine, let's play. What do you notice? Just getting curious, all the senses. What do you notice? Maybe it's a feeling. Maybe it's a knowing. Maybe there is a stream of a message in your awareness. Maybe you're seeing it. There's a vision that's popping up. What are you aware of?
For me, what I'm aware of in my body, and this is how I primarily make decisions on where is there more life? Where is there more life force? Where is there more energy? Where is there more vitality? or is there more joy? And I lead, in that direction. Because if I'm moving in a direction where it doesn't feel like there's that magnetism, that there's that pull, there's that life force and energy, then maybe that's not for me, based on being, you know, clairsentient, the ability to intuitively feel. If I'm feeling the energy of aliveness in my body, then that's where I want to be going. I want to be going closer to that feeling.
Okay. And to get even more specific here, just for play and for the listeners to understand some examples, how do you experience the feeling of aliveness? Is there anything that you're aware of?
Yeah, well, two key words that you said were excitement, joy, vibe.
Okay.
So like, you know, it's a vibrational field that I can tap into that's expanding my energy. And by expanding my energy, there's a level of excitement and there's a level of like...
Would you say there's like a boost in your energy immediately?
Totally. There's a boost in my energy and there's an expanded feeling of like, I'm really living right now. Like this is living and it's calling me to, you know, step in that direction.
Okay.
And you can automatically feel when it's not that too. Like if you're around someone who might be draining your energy and your life force, maybe they're not aware of, you know, that they might be energetically dumping on you or just not allowing conversation to flow or not being in a state where it's, you know, it's uplifting on any level and it's actually leaving you feeling drained. That's such a different feeling to walk away from that type of conversation.
Let's play with that for a moment. Again, using our imagination, let's imagine that someone that you aren't that close to and maybe you're wanting to distance yourself from a bit. I'm sure most of us have someone in our lives like that where we're like, yeah, needing space. And let's imagine that they text you and they're asking you to do them a favor and it's super inappropriate. And you're like, I can't believe they would even ask me. And I'm so a no to this. And I am so shocked that they would even ask that I have zero hesitancy to own my no. Like it is a no. What do you notice now with all of your subtle senses? Again, for you, you know, it might be a feeling. For others, it might be a vision. It might be a vision of them being like, I'm setting my boundary. This is what I would do. No, it might be, again, a thought stream or a sound of something. It could be a knowing. What do you experience?
Yeah, for me, I experience the flow of energy slowing down. And it's like when someone's just in a space of taking and they're not in a space of like circulating energy or giving. It's not like a co-creation. You're not, you know, working on this together and expanding and uplifting together. If someone's just trying to take from you, then there's that feeling of, you know, having your energy being drained. So that's what it feels for me. It's like it's a draining of my vitality or my energy. And it just feels like not that exciting. It doesn't feel like a co-creation. It doesn't feel like something that I want to, you know, move towards unless it does. And
right.
If it does, then I'll move in that direction, you know?
That's something that I'll hear you say quite frequently. If we're in the presence of someone, it could, again, even be an Uber driver, where we'll get out of the car and we'll both be like, was that just me or was that so draining to be in that car with that particular vibration?
Yeah, for me.
Other times we're like, that was amazing. What a vibe.
For me, what it comes down to is I find like I have a difficult time being around people who have a lot of stuck energy.
Because you're an empath,
this is
right?
The key distinction though, who are not willing to do anything about it and move that energy. Like they're okay just sitting in that funk. They're okay just sitting in that low vibe and they're not really wanting to do anything about it. Like if they're wanting to do something about it, I'm all for it. That's where, you know, I actually step into my mastery. That's where I come alive because, you know, one of the things we do with people is help them to move stuck energy. But when there's unwillingness to move that energy, then I have to take myself out of that situation because it does lower my vibe.
Right.
And for me, that's a felt sense. And it's also a knowing that that's not my place to be.
I think that's key. Something that you're pointing to, which I think would be great for us to start unpacking more, because it's directly linked to one, intuition, and then number two, how do we create more success in our lives, is knowing your dharma, knowing why you are here and what's yours and what's not. Because for some people, being around, like you said, a person who doesn't have clear aspirations or a desire to change or make moves in their lives, that may not bother them at all, and they can be in the field of that and be quite neutral and accepting and cool with it. But for you, what I see is that that is a form of feedback telling you, hey, this energy is not healthy or conducive to who you are here to be, how you're meant to feel, and what you need and want in your life.
Yep. And so everyone just like a GPS. That. Everyone right? has that, right? And I think for a lot of people, they get into these states of ignoring that feeling or ignoring that knowing, and they just put up with it, or, you know, they haven't actually raised their standards to believe what's possible for them. So they just kind of are in this comfort zone existing with these certain things that actually aren't for their highest alignment, but they haven't, you know, taken the steps to do the work to strengthen their connection to their intuition so they can understand their no's and they can understand their yeses and they can be in that listening and that inquiry. You know, it's huge for people.
Yeah, getting to know what a yes and a no feels like, it seems so simple, but it can change everything. And what you can do is you can start playing with that in as many situations as you want, including if you're at the stage of your life where you're like, I don't know what my dharma is. I don't know what my purpose is. Work with your yeses and your no's to find out, where do you feel most alive? Where do you feel most safe, most joyful, most tapped in, most like you? All of these experiences and ways that your subtle senses can offer you feedback are guiding you. And the more that you choose to listen to that guidance, the more aligned you can be. See, if you aren't connected to your inner guidance, how do you expect to even know what alignment truly is for you? So that's the foundations. That's
yeah, one thing I want to shout out as a practice to support you to strengthen your connection to your intuition is a practice that we created called Awaken Daily, which takes about 5 minutes and it's free. Anyone can do it now. And the purpose of the practice is to use a daily breathwork practice to support you in strengthening your connection to your intuition while receiving all of the health benefits that a daily breathwork practice provides. So at the end of the practice, once we've done our breathwork and we've done our meditation and we've allowed ourselves to tune in, we ask the question, what does my inner guidance want me to know right now? And then we sit in that space of silence and we listen. And we do that every single day. And this is something that you can do to support you in strengthening that connection. Because once you understand the language of your intuition and you work with the practice like that, then it's awesome. You get to use it in every aspect of your life. And that's how we run our business. That's how we run our lives. We don't necessarily move entirely from a logical space. We use our logic, of course, but we're extremely intuitive. And most of the decisions that we make are intuitively guided. And that's how we've been able to create the life that we have. And also, you know, a massive part of that is just been investing in ourselves and believing in ourselves and keeping promises to ourselves and continuously stepping forward on the path of trusting our own intuition. And it's been a wild journey, because when I look back at how our intuition has led us, you know, over the last 17 years of our relationship, it's been mind-blowingly guided our whole journey. And there was a point in time where I remember your intuition, you know, you reached a new level with it. So I want to start to pivot the conversation now. And I want to talk about your relationship to your intuition and anything you want to share around that. And specifically going into 2012 when shit got real.
Yeah. Well, I have spoken about this before in earlier episodes, that I have felt like I've been intuitive my whole life. And I think as kids, especially, we all are. And the question is, how much of that is fostered? How much of that is allowed and encouraged as you're growing up versus shut down, shamed, whether it be from parents or peers or the society as a whole? It can come from any angle. So for me, when I was a kid, my family were more supportive, like especially my mom, she's very intuitive. So she was quite open and encouraging of me acknowledging my intuition. And I do remember that I would get visions, and I would hide under the covers a lot of the time because my bedroom was my safe place. Yeah. I would hibernate and hide from the world, go into my room, go under the covers, put my headphones on, play my music on my little Walkman, and just zone out. And then the visions would start coming. And at the time, I didn't have any reference point for this because it was such a private experience, but my visions were actually really psychedelic. And I remember when we met, one time I said to you, when you close your eyes at night, do you see all the eyes as well?
And the faces.
Yeah, and the faces. And you were like, what do you mean?
Well,
like, well, every night when I close my eyes, all of these eyes start appearing like everywhere. And then if I focus on one, it comes closer and it starts turning into a face, and it's just endless. And there's faces on faces on faces on faces, and they're just coming toward me. And I realized that I could go even deeper into connection with one face, and it would become a conversation and a full on transmission. And so my mediumship abilities started to open up. I don't know when, but what I can say is I started getting more proactively curious about it, probably around 2010, 11, 12. And then in 2012.
Well, one of the things that was happening around that stage is you were actually studying, you know, to be a hypnotherapist.
That was in 2012. So that was what I was going to get into now, is I was super fascinated about past life regression and hypnotherapy as a tool. And I was doing a lot of inner healing at that time and had quit my job and was in this very difficult identity crisis and not feeling well, but doing my best to dive into every modality that I could. And hypnotherapy really resonated with me. So I started doing self-hypnosis. And I first found videos on YouTube that would guide you through self-hypnosis practices. And then I manifested, because we were learning about the law of attraction around that time more. And I was like, okay, I think there's something to this, and I'm going to start manifesting. Like, let's just see what happens. So I remember I didn't have much money, was very much broke at that time, but manifested to pay for myself to do a clinical hypnotherapy training. And after that training, my ability to hypnotize myself only increased because I was passionate about it. And I think this is a really important point that I just want to pause on. If you want something, your actions and your passion tend to follow. And when I say when you want something, I mean like you really deeply want it. There's nothing in the way. You're like, no, this is a full yes. I'm obsessed. What I find is that when people like the idea of it, or they like the sound of it, but they don't really want to do the work involved to get the thing, then they won't do the work, and then the results don't come. So
yeah, or they want to do it for the wrong reasons.
Right, exactly.
One of the things, the memories I have of around that time, it's so funny because you were studying, you know, so deeply and you were so passionate about it, where I remember like it would be like a Sunday and we're just chilling, maybe we're just at home relaxing, and I don't know what I'd be doing, you know, a creative project or something like that. Mm-hmm. And you'll be like, I'm just going to do my self-hypnosis. And you just run off to the room and do like a 30-minute session. But it was happening all of the time. You'll be doing these small mini sessions like multiple times throughout the day where you're putting yourself into a deep state of relaxation and just taking yourself through that process.
Yeah, I was obsessed with the process. And in the same way that fitness, generally, it's the people who love to work out and love the process of getting fit that get the most fit. I was obsessed with the process of what we now call tuning in. And that was altering my brainwaves and exploring my inner world. I am and have been naturally so inclined to explore my inner world for really my whole life. So this was just like, oh, wow, now I have a tool to go to the next level. So fast forward, one day in 2012 after this hypnotherapy course. And as usual, I'm like, I'm just going to go and do my self-hypnosis now. I put my headphones on, I dive in. And all of a sudden, instead of the usual experience that I would have, which was a really rapid sense of relaxation and a kind of like I would just drop in deep to relaxation and everything would be like still and quiet, as if you're just turning down the volume on your mind. Like, oh, here's the serenity. That's what usually would happen. And instead, this particular day, I felt myself simultaneously sitting in my body doing my rapid relaxation. And then I felt myself suddenly in a completely different location. And I was in two places at once, and I could be aware equally to both. And I was walking through this field of like black space, and there was this blue light up ahead of me, and I didn't feel afraid. I felt really curious. And I was walking and going toward this light, and then the light became a man, but it was like bright emanations of blue light everywhere all around him. I can remember it still so vividly. And then from there, he began talking to me. And I've told the story before on podcasts that I've been a guest on, but I had heard that if you meet a guide or some being somewhere, that you could ask, is this your true form? And in that moment, I was like, okay, I'm just going to ask, is this your true form? And this man-like being that was emanating this bright blue, white kind of light suddenly transformed before my eyes into an ET the size of a small child, kind of, I guess, the size of like a 5, 6-year-old, 7-year-old, maybe, yeah, 5 or 6-year-old, and very small and a turquoise color, but was still speaking to me, but without using a mouth, like it was telepathic communication. And this being told me that his name was Ichimede, and that he was my Arcturian guide, and that the time had come for contact to begin, and that this had been planned since before I was born, and that I was connected to Arcturus and these beings, that he knew me. And okay, it was like, now the work begins. So at this time, I didn't know what Arcturus was. I didn't know what the Arcturians were.
No, well, okay, so hold on a minute. You came out of that session and you were like, whoa, I think something really wild has just happened.
Yeah.
And you had all this life force and energy and you were buzzing so hard. And then you just sat me down and you told me, hey, look, this is what happened. I had this direct experience of contact. They're talking about this place. I don't even think we could pronounce it.
I couldn't spell it.
Yeah, so.
And I was like, Arctur.
Yeah, so we started. Okay. I remember we started writing it down. Arcturus, Arcturus, Arcturus. And we found it. We were like, okay, Arcturus.
Yep.
This is what it is. And then there was all this other information coming through as well. And then, like you do, we got on Google and we started, like, you know, typing it in and, like, you know, Arcturus, what's Arcturus? Mm-hmm. And all of this information came through to verify what you had connected to in that, you know, hypnosis experience that you weren't previously aware of. And I had no idea either. And then from that point, our lives started to shift radically.
Yeah, yeah. So I can share some of the things that I remember from that time. So there was that first contact experience. And from that day onward, I could channel. And people will ask me, how do I channel? How did you start channeling? Like, what was your techniques to get you there? And what I can say is that I did not intend to channel. I had no interest in it. In fact, you've seen over the last decade plus, I've actually struggled with it and been like, why did this happen to me?
Well, the thing is, you are incredibly gifted with it, and people have no idea the level of your gift with it. And maybe, you know, soon on the show, we'll get to reveal that in the coming months, how gifted you are. I think your level of resistance with it is because you thought that you wouldn't be accepted, or people would think it would be weird.
Well, I know, that I was afraid they wouldn't that people might think that I was crazy or that I was making it up. And I care about seeming sane and grounded. I'm sure as we all do, yeah, right?
Well, I didn't.
Just give less fucks.
I was the opposite. I was like,
you're like, give it to me.
I was like, holy shit, this is going to be life-changing for us because I have a million questions that I want to ask. And we get to sit down and tune in and receive information that will help us and support us on our life. Let's go.
Right.
And you were like,
you were so hyped.
I was so hyped. And you were having this opposite experience of,
I was having like an identity crisis, but at the same time, I was also grateful, curious, stoked, very connected to it, very inspired. And so again, like I was saying about my obsession with self-hypnosis, that continued. Except this time I could access these slowed down brainwaves, you know, going from a beta analytical thinking pattern, thinking mind state to alpha and then into theta. And so the self-hypnosis is actually what got me there. So when I have people ask me, how do I begin to channel? If it's something that you want, I think the most reliable tool I can recommend is self-hypnosis. Because it will train you to adjust your brainwaves. And essentially, when you look at the measurement of brainwaves, your beta brainwave pattern is like this, right? It's very fast. It's close together. When it's being measured visually, you can see that. And then when you start to slow down the brainwaves, you start going into alpha and then into theta, it gets spacious and more spread out, right? And to me, that is like a direct reflection of an open mind, being very receptive and open to information from some other dimension or realm. And so that's exactly what happened to me. And then from there, I could go into alpha and theta rapidly. So I didn't even have to put myself into hypnosis. I could just sit for a moment, take a couple of breaths, and I would go into alpha and theta. And I started being able to write. The Arcturians began telling me to write down the messages that they were bringing through more clear audiently. So I was hearing a transmission and they said, get a pen and paper and write it down. So I would fill up journals and journals, which you've seen, of information. And to go more into how this began to affect our lives, a few weeks after that contact experience, out of nowhere, you get a phone call. And we received a chunk of money, which at the time was significant. I mean, that's been and gone now, but it was significant at the time and an unexpected inheritance.
Yeah, I want to say how profound this was for us, though. And I'm not talking about receiving the money. I'm talking about this contact experience. You know, we often say contact is a state of being. Many of us are looking to the stars or we're looking at the sky have these contact experiences, but contact is a state of being that can happen internally, which is what you experience. And when you experience this, we were so excited and hyped that every single morning we would take the time out to do these tune-ins, whether you would either be writing or I'd be asking questions, and this guidance would just start flowing and we'd be asking all kinds of questions and receiving all the answers that we needed in that space. And we haven't stopped doing that since 2012. We do that consistently every single week, multiple days throughout the week. We're doing it and we're making the time to have these tune-ins together. And then we're also tuning in separately ourselves every day. So
it's super consistent.
Yeah, that was a massive, massive shift in our life because that literally changed the trajectory of everything.
Yeah.
We received that money. We left New Zealand.
That's what I'm going to share. So within a few weeks of the contact experience, we received that money. Within a couple of days after that, you quit your job and we started selling everything that we owned. And then I think it was 2 weeks later, we moved out of our house. We left New Zealand and we haven't lived there since.
We went to India.
And that was... We were there for the 12th of the 12th of the 12th and the 21st of the 12th, 2012. And I was writing pages and pages of information about this shift in consciousness that humanity would be going through during that time in India. And meanwhile, this is where the kind of wild aspect of how life can work, and it's not all rainbows and butterflies. This was a rite of passage that I was going through. I was ill in India for months, going through a dark night of the soul. Like, if there is a just like a checkbook quiz, like, have you had a dark night of the soul? This was that. I was hallucinating and so ill every single day for months. I was depressed. I was hallucinating and I couldn't get out of bed.
Well, one of the things that I saw from my perspective happening was you were accessing such high vibrational energy and information that was coursing through every cell in your body.
Yes,
and that was starting to upgrade. Purge out all of your fears, all of your insecurities, all of the things that you had shoved down. Mm-hmm. It was all just being brought to the surface to be processed.
And in case anyone is wondering, yes, I did go to the doctor and I got tested and everything came back clear and I was so sick. And so throughout that time, there was this duality or this extreme polarity going on, and I felt like I was being put on my ass so that I could honestly travel, because for weeks on end I was in bed all day every day, and you would be out, you'd go out and like go to the beach and things because you were really well, and you were like, well, we're on holiday, we're in India, this is the time of our lives, like I'm gonna go make the most of it. And I was like, yeah, go do your thing. And then I would just go somewhere else and be like out of my body in some sort of process. Now I hear that in so many different native cultures, the shamans, the priestesses, the medicine people will go through these types of initiations where they get extremely sick as their gifts are coming more online. And so I believe that if I was in that right set and setting with the right mentorship, it would have been understood that that was what I was going through. But at the time, it was rough.
And not just when the gifts are coming online, also when we have resistance to the gifts coming online.
Right.
That can happen a lot for, you know, many people that are gifted in this way. So that was huge for us, because as we were moving through India and traveling the world, and that didn't stop for a 10-year period of us consistently traveling.
Yeah.
Everything started to fall into place for us. That's where we started to eventually land ourselves in Bali and create our company.
Well, also kind of to backtrack a little bit, I will say that that was like, let's say 3 to 4 months of the most condensed suffering, but while also being the most holy, divine, miraculous, magical time. And then after that, I remember this marker point, we were like about to leave India. And you got a job, and it was the most high-paying job you've ever had. It was to the point we were like, is this for real?
No,
like,
it was
really going.
It was insane, because in India, we had been living pretty ghetto, and we had been traveling around. You know, at some point, we were staying in little communities and just roughing it, just to connect with the people and the culture.
And stretch that money out that we got.
Yeah, and also just to be fully immersed in the experience of India for everything that it offers. But it was pretty ghetto. It was, you know, it was thug life for sure. Then when we got that opportunity to go to Switzerland where I'd be working, not only was it the most amount of money that I would ever receive from a paying job, they were going to put us up.
We lived in an influencer house before that was even a thing. It was like the MySpace days.
They paid for, you know, all our accommodation and everything. And then I remember the studio had, you know, different levels to it. And it had like waiters and chandeliers. And it was like from one reality to the next. And when we got there, we were just like, this is really insane.
And then that allowed me to start studying. So I had done the hypnotherapy, but the channeling had come online, but I remember feeling like this isn't it. Like I think the hypnotherapy activation honestly was more for me and for you as an experience and a deepening. And then when it comes to what we were offering to the world, I was like, no, I don't want to have clients with this. I'm still going through so much of my own healing. And so I went off and studied countless different modalities in the years that
which eventually weaved in to be a part of Awaken.
And let us, it's literally why we found breathwork. So since then, to kind of summarize what I'm sure is a story we'll unpack more and more as these episodes progress, we have been following the breadcrumbs continually since then. And we tune in consistently and we get the next little breadcrumb.
And I think that's one of the keys to success, is not only tuning in and writing down what's coming through your intuition, but trusting it and being willing to take action on it and invest in yourself and invest in your vision and invest in your dreams consistently over and over and over again, because right. that's exactly what we've had to do.
How many people have these amazing ideas and they're all excited about it and they're like, oh, I had this idea that I could go to Spain, or I could go and do this retreat, or I could go and do this course. And then weeks go by and months go by and you're like, oh, so are you doing it? Mm. And you're like, oh, no, it didn't really work out.
Well, just like you can talk yourself into something, you can talk yourself out of something. So it's yes. so important to know the language of your intuition so you can trust that felt sense or that felt knowing or that hearing or that seeing, and then just take action on it, because it's one of the things that you'll never regret is following through on that intuitive guidance, because that's the way we start to get led in this way that's so divine, and there's so much synchronicities and magic that unfolds when we say yes, and it will blow your own mind and heart open in ways that you can't even, you know, comprehend when you're on the other side waiting to make that decision. So you just got to do it. You just got to say yes. Usually it will stretch you. There might be fear that comes up when we're stretching ourselves, or we're, you know, we're in this growing phase, or we're saying yes to things, but there will be also be an excitement around it, and we have to lean in and we have to trust that.
Something that I often will get asked is, you know, after a while, does it just get to the point where it's easy and really clear for you? Like your intuition, you can just trust it. It's an easy, undeniable knowing. And I can say that after opening up that next level of my intuitive gifts, it is still as vulnerable as ever. And even with the evidence that I have gathered over the years, I still do get nervous.
By evidence, you mean the real life results that you've been able to get
right.
from thousands of people all around the world.
Yep. That. So, but I still get nervous. I still get scared. I still am like, oh, it feels like you're about to leap off an edge. And I don't think that feeling necessarily goes away, although it will change. So instead of me being like, oh, I can't do this, now I'm like, I'm going to do this. And even though I have these feelings, it's not going to get in the way at all. And so you have to ask yourself, like, where am I on the spectrum of willingness to lean into the unknown? Your relationship with your intuition is in direct connection with your relationship with the unknown.
Mm.
If you are uncomfortable with the unknown, if you're a control freak, if you are really risk averse and you don't like spontaneity, chances are high that you're going to have a really difficult time developing your intuition. If you are willing to start practicing relaxing that control and letting go more often and realizing that the unknown is actually working with you in conversation and relationship with you and working for you, then you can have a breakthrough. And I think when we say everyone is intuitive, we all are, but how willing are you to let go of control?
Yeah. And how willing are you to put in the work to strengthen that connection,
right?
And to be led by that.
And when we say led and releasing control, it's like, oh, but you know, how can I know that this is a good thing? A big part of this surrender process is opening to the possibility that you are a part of a loving, benevolent universe that wants you to win and sees more than you can see and knows more than you know about what's possible for you. And this is something that you often talk about, right? It's co-creation. Mm. Intuition is a process of co-creation, because it's a declaration or a arrival at a knowing that it's not about my will anymore.
Mm.
It's thy will. Thy will be done. Okay, what would you have me do? Where would you have me go? Because choosing to believe that there is an intelligence that can see more for my life than I can see has only benefited me, it's only benefited you, and it's only benefited my clients. I can say, like, there's a distinct pre-co-creation and after co-creation. And that's, I think, why we're both so passionate about this, because life is so much more magical and uncapped when you're guided.
Well, we wouldn't be here without it. That's just a fact,
right?
You know, so some of the miracles that we've been able to see, and not just our lives, but in people around us who start stepping into strengthening their connection with their intuition, trusting it, taking aligned action on it, is they're being able to release any blockages in their life where things haven't been flowing the way they want them to, whether that's in career, relationships, finances, you name it. Your intuition will lead you in every area of your life. So it's really important to know that, that this is a guiding, loving, intelligent force that you have available to you. And your higher self speaks through the voice of your intuition. And your higher self or your soul knows where you've been, knows where you are, and knows where you're going. Absolutely. And that's a key. You know, there is so much love and so much support when you choose to take the time to strengthen that connection.
Okay, I have a fun little pivot that I want to make. Yeah, and that is to talk a bit about how you work with your own intuition and specifically mediumship abilities to co-create. Because something that I think is very unique and amazing that I would love for more people to know about you, because how many people are talking about this? Not many, if any. You will be in contact with spirits who have passed over, and they will guide you to your clients. They'll tell you who they want you to help. They'll give you so much information. And you'll also notice spirits or energies that are around us and then bring that to my attention so that I can tune in more. But you're like very, very dialed in on the realm of spirit connection.
Well, I feel like I work for spirit. So spirit's always leading me and whispering in my ear constantly. And then it's just about me listening to those whispers from spirit, you know. But yeah, that's how, you know, I work with the clients I do. And many people ask me, how do you work with the type of clients that you do? It's because I'm intuitively guided. It's because I hear those whispers,
yeah,
and I know how I can support them. And it's not about me. It's about what I can give rather than what I can get from that experience, and being of service and stepping out of my own way for the greater good of that person. I'm going to be constantly, you know, abundantly provided for in so many different ways. And it doesn't come down to just financial payment. It's like when you start to step into that place of knowing why you're there and knowing that this is a greater mission that your soul has set out for you before you even came here to this planet, and you trust it and you go forward on that mission, you are abundantly supported in ways that will blow your own mind. You know, there'll be so many opportunities and doors that open. And that's what I've witnessed for me personally when I take the time out to sit in my practices, listen to those whispers, feel intuitively into what wants to happen for the highest good, write things down, study the person and the individual that I'm going to be working with to understand how I can best support them and the breakthroughs that I can help them have, and then listen to what spirit is saying. And through that, it's like I spoke about, where I'm able to piece by piece understand a bigger picture, and information is revealed to me, so that by the time I get into that session or that conversation with the person, I already have the big picture, and then I just know the right questions to ask. And then from that experience of asking those questions, we open up a higher conversation, and we're able to get those breakthroughs, and I'm able to support them to have those releases, you know, really quickly.
Right. Yeah. It's been amazing over the years to see your work with so many people, a lot that we can't name publicly, but even some that people might be aware of is your work with Travis Barker, with Machine Gun Kelly, and Jake Paul.
That's all divinely guided by spirit. And by spirit, I mean the people that they've had in their lives that have passed over, that have been knocking on my door or whispering in my ear saying, hey, you can support them with this specific thing. And then that connection's made. And it's not that I can personally make that connection, because a lot of these people I don't have access to. spirit makes the connection for me.
Right.
You know, I do my part. It is a co-creation.
And do you have an example of that you could share with the listeners? Because I know you have a lot of different crazy, miraculous stories. But maybe an example of where you've been like, okay, spirit has got me. That door just opened in a way that I couldn't open on my own. And here I am doing the thing.
Yeah, there's so many. One of the ones that comes, for example, is a session that we had with Machine Gun Kelly and Megan Fox. And on the way to their house, I was thinking that the session was going to be specifically around a certain topic. And then I felt, you know, someone that MGK was connected to in spirit come through and whisper in my ear and give me some guidance around how I needed to pivot the session. Mm. And what I was originally thinking the session was going to be about, it was actually going to be about this. And I listened to that. I changed the playlist that I had previously made on the way there. I changed everything that I was going to, you know, the questions that I was going to ask him. And then we went into the session and it was a really mind-blowing,
and
powerful.
It was exactly what they needed.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. Yep. And that was just learning to pivot and trust. And, you know, and it's always like that for me. It's always this space of listening and being willing to surrender my own ego or what I think is the right thing and just step into that place of, you know, listening to what wants to happen for the highest good. So as we start to come to a completion of this podcast, is there anything that you want to share? Maybe a way that your intuition has led you to create, you know, a miracle or something that you're aware of that will be an inspiring story or final share for the listeners?
Well, I think I want to segue off of what you just shared as my final nugget to say being willing to pivot quickly has been a huge advantage for us in living a more intuitively guided life. And I think sometimes we can, like you were saying, you had to change the playlist. Okay, that's a minor example. Like, it's a playlist. Big whoop-de-doo. But in some cases, it's a bigger thing. I remember that we've had times where the day before, like the night before we were meant to go to Mexico for like 3 months, I got an intuitive hit and it was like, you're not meant to go. And we canceled our flights, our accommodation. I think we lost the money for the Airbnb, but it was just a hard no. Like, you have to pivot and this is no longer aligned. And sometimes along the way, I've noticed we'll get frustrated, and I'll see this in clients too, where they're like, why did I get told to go? Like, why did I get the nudge to book the Mexico trip in the beginning if it was going to lead to me canceling it? And what I've seen is that life is more like a kind of spiral or moving through a maze than a linear line. And sometimes thinking that you're going to do something will allow you to act a type of way.
Creates momentum.
Yeah. And then you need to be in the mode as if you're going to do the thing, but you don't need to actually follow through and do the thing. Like, I needed to think that I was going to Mexico for that several months beforehand.
So you could do this, 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 and this.
Yes, yep. Exactly. And then finally it was like, yeah, you don't need to go to Mexico. And that has happened countless times with trips that have fallen through or plans that have changed. I remember I was enrolled in university at one point and I was doing a degree and I was deep in it and I was like, this is so right for me and I'm into it, I'm invested, I'm loving it. Had this whole plan in my mind. Key point too. We can get an idea in our mind and be like, this is for me. And then one day I was like, this is not aligned anymore. And this other thing has shown up in my life that is proving to be a mirror of like how unaligned this now is. And I've had people say after sharing this story that it has helped them so much because, you know, maybe for you, it's university, maybe it's a degree that you're in that now feels like the most uninspiring waste of time or no longer useful thing, but you're like, oh, I'm 1 year in, or I'm 5 years in, or I'm finally at the PhD and it's around the corner. How can I throw this away? It's like life changes and evolves and we have to be willing to pivot.
Sometimes you have to be willing to surrender and let go of something that's good or okay for something greater.
Yes. Right there. And it's shown up for us both with jobs. I mean, you left a very long and successful career as a tattoo artist to pivot into leading breathwork, which if I'd told you in the thick of your breathwork career, in your tattoo career that you were going to do that, you'd be like, no, I'm not going to do that. But the time came where it felt right and you were willing, underline, like you were willing to make a change. So for anyone listening out there, it's okay to change. It's healthy. It's necessary. Maybe it's a relationship, a friendship, a job, a habit that you've had, a personality trait that you think is just you. Maybe one day you wake up and you're like, yeah, I don't want to do that anymore. Like, I'm done. And you're allowed to do that. And that's a part of living a guided life.
Yeah, that's a part of stepping into the person that you came here to become. And it is a process of becoming. And sometimes we have to be willing to let go of the old in order to create the new.
Anything else you want to say, or are we completing here?
I just want to say thank you to every single one of you for tuning in today. And we hope that this conversation has supported you to understand the language of your intuition and how you can use it to create success in your life. Mm-hmm. And make sure to check out our Awaken Daily Practice. We'll leave a link below. And you can use that every single day to strengthen your connection with your intuition.
That will keep you in alignment. That's what we do every day. All of the other tools are amazing, but that is the game changer
and
right there.
There's a lot more to come. So we'll be stepping into this space of, you know, Hella channeling and sharing her gifts with you. So stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Cheers.